We've got a legend, because he was in a few years ago. He's not been in for a while. And that's Alan Lim. Morning, Alan. How are
Ian,
you?
I'm very well, Ian. I've never been called a legend before, so thank you for that honour.
Well, you already came back. Lots of people don't. So how are you then?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well indeed. Everything okay here?
Yes. Normally when you get called, it's like, you know, it's kind of bad times, but can lead to good times. So just tell everybody what you do.
What I do is, by profession, I am what's called an insolvency practitioner. So I spend my working life dealing with companies and businesses that get into financial difficulty. Now, hopefully they are introduced to me soon enough so that I can improve them and help them survive. That isn't always the case, but that's where we start from, to try and see if we can salvage some good from their current misfortune.
Okay, well, you're not in the sort of salvage us, not yet.
No.
But how would it work then? They come to you and they say, right, can you help us? And then what happens?
Yeah, normally people are introduced to us by an existing advisor that they've got. So it might be an accountant, it might be a solicitor, it might be a banker. You know, we aren't any of those. We provide sort of specialist support. And to start with, what we do is really sit down with the people that we're asked to help and have an open and honest chat with them about why they're in the state that they're in. And quite often people have never had the opportunity to do that. There isn't anybody in their business or amongst friends and family that they feel comfortable discussing problems with. And that's always the starting point, really, to get to the bottom of what's causing their current problems before we can then see, well, how we can help try to solve them and get them back on the straight and narrow.
Now, my father-in-law has run a business for many, many years. The only advice he would give me is he's always take the sentiment out of it. And I'm guessing when you go into companies, because you don't know them, there's no sentiment anyway, is there?
Yes, I think that's a very valid point here. You know, I'm there helping people in the state that they are at the moment. I'm not involved with the emotion of it. I don't know the history. I don't know the background. My job is to try and deal with the here and now and help them move forward.
So is it a bit? Are you a bit like Tom Cruise in that film where he meets the? Is it Tom Cruise? No, Richard Gere, where he goes in the Pretty Woman, because he used to go in and buy companies, didn't he, and break them up, and then she went in and smoothed him a little bit, and he sort of mellowed quite a lot.
I don't know if I should be offended by your suggestion that I mix with the sort of ladies that Julia Roberts was in that film. Ian.
Well, you could take it the other way and say, I've linked you to Richard Gere.
Well, yes, I don't know if that's better or worse. Anyway, moving swiftly, I suppose what I'm a bit like, years ago there was a bloke called John Harvey Jones that did a TV series called Troubleshooter, where he went out and saw lots of businesses and got to the bottom of why they needed his help. There's also a lady called Alex Polizzi, who's the hotel inspector, but she does a series at the moment on small businesses where she also sort of gets to the bottom of their problems and helps them solve them. That's a bit what we do, really. And then really, depending upon why they're in trouble and what help they need, we may carry on working with them, or we may introduce them to other more sort of specialists that can provide the exact solutions that will solve their problems.
Is it always, I mean, when you go in and solve the issues, you mentioned they're solved, we should point out that that's what you do, you go in and solve problems, but obviously when there's they can't be solved, what happens then? I suppose they close down.
Yes, and sometimes you really don't have the time or the scope to help them do anything other than close the door. If someone's introduced to me because they can't pay their wages tomorrow, or the bailiff's just turned up and is taking everything that's in there, and that's happened sometimes, then there's really no hope of helping that company or business survive. All you can do then is hold their hand through the process and help them deal with it as painlessly as possible and then move on to what's next in their life.
Okay. I mean, it sounds fascinating. It must be, at times, if you can go in and sort of help somebody and their company carries on, and I'm sure you've got plenty of companies that you have, but at times there must be the odd time when you must feel like your chin's hit the floor because you've gone in and basically closed someone's business, but probably for the better, because otherwise they're going to further debt.
Yes, you do come across that situation sometimes where the only way for people to survive would be to put more of their own money into a loss-making business, and that doesn't make sense for them, and there's no reason why they should do that. But sometimes what they need is somebody else to tell them that they aren't responsible for making their own position worse financially, just so that they can improve everybody else's.
Okay, because we haven't seen you for about 4 years. We've seen each other, but you've not been in because you've been like very busy. I mean, obviously there's a financial sort of crisis, and there has been for a while. Is it any different to what it was 4 or 5 years ago, or is it getting worse?
I would say it's pretty much the same, Ian. I mean, the economy is probably doing about as well or as badly as it was 4 or 5 years ago. But what keeps me busy really are people who aren't very good at running a business overall. They're very good at what they do, But there's lots of other things that go along with running a business that they don't concentrate on, don't get help with, and ultimately that's what causes them to come to me, because they're running out of cash.
So what sort of help can you give? Just say, for instance, if you had to run the slide rule over our company, would you then say to us, well, if you were to do this, this and this, and I'll help you do it, you'd be able to do this, this and this? Is that how it works?
Yes, it can do. Without knowing about the detail of your business, you know, you are here to provide entertainment and music to people over the airways, but ultimately, you know, your income comes from people advertising.
Sure.
As well as all the other training that you do. So I suppose if you've got plenty of people advertising and people paying for the training that you provide, then that helps to pay for, you know, what goes out over the airwaves.
Okay, maybe we should get you in and run the slide rule over, because I've always said, and you know, I'm all right sat in this room. Yeah. I know what I'm doing in this room. We can do lots of different things with production skills. You know, we teach youngsters radio, and hopefully it builds communication and confidence skills. But as for running a business, you know, I've had to like pay people today, and I'm thinking, crikey, I wish I was just, you know, someone else was doing that. It'd be a lot easier. I could just get on with what I need to be doing then. But so maybe we should get you in.
And gladly.
So what do you need? When somebody turns up, what's the biggest problem you have? Do they want to give you, like, hand over the books to you, or do they feel like, oh, it's a bit embarrassing, or...?
I suppose what helps to start with is, firstly, awareness that there's a problem.
Yeah.
Secondly, a willingness to have an open conversation about why they're in the state that they're in. Thirdly, I think it helps if they are open to suggestions as to how things could be done differently. A lot of businesses do what they've done because that's what they've always done, and they've never taken a step back and thought, well, how or what ought we to do differently so that we can survive? And I think that's often the hardest thing, is to actually get people to do something else and to change. And you can have a discussion with them and you can agree what they're going to do, but it's ultimately up to them to take that step forward and recognise that it's their responsibility.
Sure. How quick can you go in, assess, and then do what you need to do?
As quickly as we need to. There's little point in someone ringing me up and me saying, well, I'll come and see you 6 weeks on Friday, because by then it's too late.
Yeah, sure.
Within reason, you know, I try and see people as quickly as possible. Obviously, we can only help one business at one time. I've not yet found the answer to splitting myself in two, but we provide a business that's predictably unpredictable, and part of that is being able and willing to help people quickly.
So what are we looking at? You go, you make the call, a couple of days, you're meeting up, you're assessing the books, and then you can make a decision.
Yeah, sooner than that, if we can do, because the sooner the better, but you need people to be available with the information, because there's little point in having a theoretical discussion. What you need is them to be engaged, and part of that is them explaining to you, you know, what the current situation is, so you can help understand why they're in that position.
That's really quick, because the mentality on the island, and you probably back me up on this, Dame Shirley, if you want to phone a builder or a gas man or something like that, it's see you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, it's a similar thing. You've got the problem now, your business is struggling, you might not last a couple of weeks. And equally, if you haven't got any gas or you've got a water leak, you don't want to wait 2 weeks, do you?
No. I suppose what's even better, Ian, is those businesses that keep a close eye on how well they're doing and can see that things, you know, this week or this month or this year aren't quite as well as they were a year ago. And it's not yet terminal, it's not yet, you know, severe, but they recognise that they ought to change and ask for help at a time when they've got the opportunity to do so.
How does it? Because I know you're based on the island, aren't you?
Yes.
But you do travel around a lot as well.
Yeah, I go where the work is, so I work both sides of the water.
How does it compare to you know, island and mainland?
You mean from a personal point of view? You know, I've been here on the island for 8 years. Before that, I used to live in the Midlands, about as far from the sea as you can get. Now the sea is on my doorstep, and it's super. The island's a brilliant place to live and work, and I'm very lucky to be here, and I've got no plan of going anywhere else. I think what you find is that the sort of problems that businesses face here are pretty much the same as they are across the country. There's no difference there.
So he's relaxed too much now, Dame Shirley. You got the question, didn't you? How does it compare business-wise?
He just loves the island.
He just loves the island.
I think there is as much opportunity here as there is on the mainland. I mean, here on the island, there's nobody else that's based here that does what I do. That gives me a certain advantage. But people don't work with me just because I'm local. Know if they don't like me and don't like the advice I give, then they'll vote with their feet and go elsewhere, same in any other industry. So
is it worse here on the island, or is it worse, you know, on the mainland for businesses being in trouble?
I think I think that though, on the island, you have sort of the impact of seasonal trade a bit more because it's more concentrated in one area. But I help seasonal businesses on the mainland in the same way. And I wouldn't say that the general standard of business management is any better or worse over here than it is on the other side of the Solent, really.
Okay, so because we sometimes shoot ourselves in the foot by, you know, spouting off a lot of negativity about the island being an unemployment black spot and so on, and maybe it's not quite as bad as that. I mean, you just painted a picture there that, hey, it's just the same as it is here as it is up there or on the mainland. So, you know, maybe we say us keep moaning about it, we highlight a negative, and maybe that negative isn't quite as bad as what it is on the mainland. Would that be a fair assumption?
I would agree. I think that, yes, there are poor businesses here, there's poor businesses everywhere, but there's a large number of extremely good businesses here, and companies that are extremely successful, but what they sell isn't sold locally. You know, it's sold to the other side of the world, and unless you know someone that works there, you never even know that they existed.
Hey, have you been asked to go over and help the council out?
No, I haven't. No,
not yet.
No, not yet.
Have you been tempted to knock the door? Because obviously, there's a lot of talk about them. You know, in a few years' time, maybe even not making a few years' time, we'll just have to hand over the keys to the mainland. Surely, come on, Alan, we go over there. I'll take you over there and introduce you to the top man.
Don't
over
the
there.
Door. Beat that nice Mr. Bacon. Well, that nice Mr. Metcalf, and see what we could do to help.
Do you think it would be you know, wrong of me to introduce you to via an email at this stage or not?
I think, yeah, that, you know, the council is no different from any other business that is suffering from a fall in its sales, fall in its income, and is facing a challenge as to how best to deal with that and how to spend its money. It's no different from any other business. That's
could you help them?
I could try.
All right. Okay. I'll get an invite over there. At least you get a cup of tea and a sandwich out of it. I'm sure.
It's my input with any business is always better by way of an introduction from someone they know at the moment. If I just ring people up, you know, off the internet randomly, who I think are struggling, then that doesn't tend to work very well. So I don't do that. Where I'm introduced to them by someone that they know already, then that is a far greater value in terms of the quality of that referral, and people are generally more receptive to my help as a result.
And they obviously will see your details on the website, and they'll get in touch with you as well.
Yes.
How does that level out? Is it, are there more people that are introduced, or are there more people that actually come to you direct?
No, more people are introduced. There are some people that do come direct, but I think what we find these days, with people coming to us, say, through the website, it's when people used to find our details in yellow pages. If a business doesn't have an existing advisor that it can go to for help, then they tend to be sort of more, you know, the worst quality of businesses overall. We'll still help them, but just as a general rule, most decent businesses, or even some less decent businesses, have got an accountant or a solicitor or somebody that they look to for advice on their business that they should go to regularly anyway.
Okay. Now, obviously, if we want to go to you, there's obviously a website, so give us the details.
Yeah, the website address, it's all the W's, briuk.co.uk, or if you put BRI into Google, you'll find us pretty much at the top of the first page.
Okay, that's good then.
Yes.
That's good. Hey, look, great to see you.
And you, thank
you. And hopefully you'll come back, because we did say that you should come in one day and do an 80s show.
Yes, yeah,
and
I'd love
think
to.
That'd be great. And if I was to say to you, you've got to be out of your brilliant mind, what would you think? Bit of furniture, isn't it?
Furniture, yes.
Yeah. Is that one of your favourite records?
It is, if you've got to. I can tell you a tale about furniture. I went to university at Durham, where they didn't have a lot of sort of big bands coming along, and one summer I was employed to be a bouncer at a ball where furniture were playing, and my job was to stand in front of the speakers where furniture played. You must be out of your brilliant mind about five times, so my hearing's only just about recovered. 30 years on.
That's a great story. And, yeah, and as if by magic, we're going to turn out really, really loud now to take you back to that year. Must have been about, what, 1986?
86, 87, yeah.
Yeah. See, we're are we roughly the same age?
You don't just throw this together, do you?
No. Well.
We probably are about the same age. Yeah, I'll be 50 this year.
All right, I was 50 last year.
Okay.
So yeah, we are roughly the same age.
I just had a longer paper round.
So, yeah. I had one in Ventnor. So this is furniture. Do you remember any of the guys from the band?
No.
No.
I just remember the singer had a very deep voice.
Yeah. All right, so this is Furniture and Brilliant Mind. Thanks for coming
in,
Alan. Great to see you.
And you, thank you.